Hey everyone, it's Steve. It's time for another 5 and 10. Look where I'm at. Yes, I am in DC this week and I am going to be here for, well, the next several days. I have a rather busy schedule. I wish I could tell you all about it right now, but I can assure you that I will be telling you soon. Because of my schedule here, I'll probably only be able to do this one 5 and 10 before maybe another one on Friday. So this is it for at least the next few days. I'll be jammed up here from early in the morning to late each evening for the next 3 days. Additionally, as far as this one is concerned, probably won't be as produced as the ones I usually do, but because I won't have time for editing, so I'll just post this and get this up as quickly as I can. But let's go. 5 and 10. 5 topics in 10 minutes. Might be 9 minutes today, might be 15. I don't know. I'm not watching the clock either. Here we go. Number one, we are coming for your children. You've probably already seen it, a video of the marching LGBTQ activists at a New York City's annual drag queen parade were captured on video chanting, "We're here. We're queer, we're coming for your children." Now, cutting to the chase, there are only two possible explanations for that overt display. It was either a brazen admission of true intent, or it was simply just them being absurd for the sake of absurdity, wanting to get actually further under everyone's skins, other than getting under the skin to the manner that they've already been irritating the hell out of everyone up to this point. That second rationale is something I've actually already heard discussed among some punditry. I'll tell you what, let's just not even go there. We already know that some in the LGBTQ, WKRP, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NPR community are coming for our children. We know that. Others are not. But what is happening is some of the alphabet people are now freaking out about this overt display. Remember when the L's, the G's, and the B's argument was, we were born this way. Can't you just accept that? Can't you just leave us alone? Does it matter what we do behind closed doors? Does it actually affect your life? If I'm allowed to marry my same-sex partner, does that pick your pocket or break your bones? That's a libertarian appeal right there. And it's one with which I mostly agree. But now the pressure is coming from an argument that's 180 degrees out of phase with what we used to hear. Instead of, we were born this way, it is now, we weren't born this way. We are something other than what we were born. And the rest of society is going to accommodate us by changing your language, by constructing alternate bathroom and locker room facilities, and in lieu of that, just allowing us to use whichever facility we prefer. And we're going to participate in whatever sporting events that we choose, regardless of how we were born. As usual, when they start pushing that hard, though, many on their side of the so-called tolerance crowd, they begin pushing back. And that is happening now. It's good to see, but pay attention closely as we go forward to what your elected officials are doing and saying. Watch and see if any elected Democrats start actually backing away from this ledge. Now, I'm going to predict that not many, if any, are going to do so. And that tells you really who and what they really are. Number two, over the weekend, Representative Dean Phillips, a Democrat from Minnesota, tweeted a photo of a half dozen protesters in Georgia holding up a couple of Nazi flags along with this comment on his tweet. He said, "Punishable by 3 years in prison in Germany, but this is Georgia." Now, his obvious implication was that the leftist, this particular leftist, has no remaining vestige of actual liberalism remaining in his bones. You know, the kind of liberals who used to say, "I don't agree with anything that you had to say, but I'll fight to the death for your right to say it." So I replied with this tweet. This is what I said. I said, "We have a First Amendment specifically designed to protect speech with which we disagree or even find abhorrent. Surely you're not suggesting prison for these clowns. If so, I'd recommend you review the Constitution and your oath of office." Well, first of all, dismissing the possibility that those Nazi flag-carrying individuals were not federal assets there to do something, there to do nothing more than just stir up trouble or infiltrate actual extremist groups, which they do really exist. Those extremist groups do in fact exist. Anyone with half a brain and a modicum of situational awareness of what was going on could see that a very small, pitiful band of outliers were what were carrying these flags there in Georgia that day. Bunch of nutcases. Second, when someone waves a Nazi flag, they are telling you straight up that they are not far right extremists. They may be white supremacists, they may be anti-Semitic, but they are also saying to you that we are National Socialists. It's in the freaking name. Nazi National Socialism. In another incident this weekend, out in the People's Republic of Oregon, some MAGA Proud Boys confronted a group of white supremacists who were dressed like the Patriot Front. I don't know if that was the Patriot Front or not. You know, the FBI Fed Boy group who were made up of a verifiably, and even by the FBI's own admission, a very high number of embedded confidential human sources, they call them. The MAGA guys that were out there, or Proud Boys as some have identified them, started chasing this group, berating them, calling them racist, telling them to get the hell out of there. And then the MAGA guys actually started ripping their face coverings off and slapping them around a bit. And once they had their face coverings ripped off, they put their hands over their faces and they made a swift retreat. So the big question is, will the Democrats actually side in this particular battle with the MAGA Proud Boys or with the Fed-embedded Patriot Front white supremacists? That's my big question. Number three, the federal government is about to begin a practice run of a new by-the-mile tax program funded by that infrastructure measure that President Biden signed into law all the way back in November of 21. They've been telling us that this was coming for some time. The reason given? Because of all the fuel taxes that are being lost by the growing number of electric vehicles on the road, not paying for gasoline and diesel at the traditional pumps. So, you lovers of electric vehicles, thanks a lot. Not only are you not going to save any money with your purchase of that electric vehicle, but I think you probably have already figured that out, but you have given several states and the federal government now an excuse to begin taxing all of us by the mile. The euphemisms for this tax variously called road usage charges, mileage-based user fees, distance-based fees, and vehicle miles traveled taxes. Fully electric cars, hybrids, and simply more fuel-efficient gas guzzlers are more than the government can possibly bear when they start losing money, even though they're losing our money. But that's what's driving this transformation in this taxation situation. So as they also continue to also sabotage the fossil fuel industry, which will drive those prices ever higher, they will now additionally punish the rest of us for every single mile we drive above and beyond the existing embedded per gallon fuel tax that already exists. Remember what the WEF said last week? They intend to reduce private ownership of cars by 75%. I shared that here on a 5 and 10 last week. So all I can think of is they're going to do everything they can to move us into those 15-minute cities. All right, number four, Russia, Russia, Russia. You know, I grew up during the Cold War era. The enemy was clear. President Reagan called the old Soviet Union the evil empire. It was clear, concise, the message was crystal. No confusion at all. Now, we don't know what to believe. Were the Russians helping Trump or Hillary in the 2016 election? Is Putin the bad guy in Ukraine, or are you one of those ones who believes that Putin is simply taking out the Nazis in the Ukrainian states and taking out the deep state as well? Now, over the last few days, we got to watch this short form teleplay, probably a false flag, of a near Russian civil war, or was it a mutiny, a coup attempt? We don't know. Where the formerly best buds of Putin and Prigozhin of the Wagner Group, as they are called, are now ready to fight a battle over Moscow City itself. Well, it didn't happen. They stood down. And sorry, but despite my own sources within the military, special forces, and intelligence communities, I'm not even capable of piecing together a cogent interpretation of these events or where Russia-Ukraine is headed from here. All I know is that the level of corruption from all sides, including support from our own government, is exactly what Eisenhower warned us about and what both Jefferson and Washington warned us about. When you see the convergence of the military-industrial complex and the entangling foreign alliances, both of which we've been warned about, and you add to that the very specific reason for the existence of our own CIA, which of course is information warfare, well, then caveat emptor. I'm not buying any of it. Not unless I get to look under the hood myself. All right, number five. Is the press finally awakening to Biden's corruption? We sure got the sense of something afoot in the White House press room last week during their relentless grilling of KJP about Hunter and other Biden family issues. When I made some comment or posed a question about the press finally catching on, I did this on either Twitter or Facebook, or maybe it was in one of my 5 and 10s and I saw the comment on Rumble. Someone actually responded to me and said, "Steve, you're smarter than that. It's just simply the deep state showing that they are done with Biden and finally taking him out before the 2024 election." Something to that effect. Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I am smarter than that. As a matter of fact, how long have I been publicly predicting that Gavin Newsom will be the Democratic National Convention's nominee in 2024? The answer to that question is, I've been telling you that for months now. He is their new golden boy, Newsom, that is. He's their new white version of Obama anyway, and I stand by that prediction. If you haven't noticed, Uncle Joe is in steep decline right now. He's becoming increasingly harder to prop up for his once-a-day bumble and gaffe fest. The drugs and the B12 shots are no longer doing the trick. The only question that remains is, how will they take him out? In total shame and destruction, like Nixon style, or worse yet, Trump-level destruction style? Or will they create some excuse for him to simply step away and spend his latter days with his family? I think they're going to reach a backroom deal to allow Biden to gracefully step down from the coming campaign. They can't afford a Nixon-style takedown. That creates far-reaching problems and damages to the party itself. Watergate gave us Jimmy Carter, and that was between five massive GOP electoral victories, two for Nixon, two for Reagan, and one for Bush the first. The Dems know that they could lose the prized and highly valuable independent voters in 2024 if they allow the Biden scandal to grow, fester, become an impeachment crisis, or worse. So watch closely for a deal to be made rather soon, I think. Now, the only remaining question is, what will they do with that waste of a pantsuit called Kamala Harris? All right, that's it for today. Please consider joining my Locals community, where I share content I don't put out anywhere else. It's free to subscribe, or for only $5 per month, you can help us support the investigative work that I'm doing actually right here, right now in DC this week. And I can't wait to tell you all about that. Simply go to tpc4usa.com, tpc, the number 4usa.com, or you can go to your app store, download the Locals app, and then search for at tpc4usa.com. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, gosh, Gab, MeWe, True Social, most of them with the same handle at tpc4usa. Thanks a bunch for joining me here in DC today, and I will see you again probably on Friday with another 5 and 10.